Stop it.
I don't like this song.
Don't make that silly face.
I never liked this song.
You
it
need to
do
show proper respect. God needed a masturbating angel.
Oh, my.
That's why he took
Boo-hoo.
Chrissy Amphlett.
Well, she should have juiced more.
A woman dies of breast cancer, and that's your reaction.
I mean, she should have watched Forks Over Knives. She'd still be with us.
Breast cancer and MS at the same time. Little AIDS in there, maybe, too.
I mean, just a little carrot and apple juice would have fixed her right up.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Even after everything
the Garrison
manifested.
Therapy. I'm sorry she's gone. She should have had more carrots and apples.
Lord, how are you going to say that? How are you going to say that?
I mean, and not carrots and apples in her special place. I mean, actually eat them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's why those prunes never work. I used them as a suppository, and I was like, it's just backing things up more.
Yeah, that's not good.
You're listening to Papa's Basement. I'm your host, John Papagiorgio. With me today, Allison Frank.
Ta-da.
Show's website's in papasbasement.com in case you hear this and you think, wow, I want more of it. It's the best thing ever. You go to inpapasbasement.com. It's going to have a new episode of the show. We do an hour every Monday and every Thursday. You've also got links to the Facebook page, which has a lot of crap on it.
Yeah.
There's Twitter. I talk on Twitter. It's not just about the site.
Right.
I bring the funny on lay Twitter as well.
Yes, that's true.
And you got the iTunes subscription link. If you have any iDevice, an iPad, an iPod, an iPhone, an iMac, whatever the hell they make now. You go there and you click on that, and every time you open iTunes, it'll magically populate with all the episodes you've missed.
How about that?
I think we've wrapped it up. Now we can get to my favorite song ever.
No, it's not my favorite song.
Not just sarcastic. How do you not like this song?
It actually came out when I was in nursing school. And
I actually Touch Myself by the Divinyls, by the way. Their only hit, which is tragic.
Do anything for me.
I swear, this is a perfect pop
rock
song.
But I did like Vanilla Ice's Ice Ice Baby, which was around the same time.
That was a great song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just saying, to dislike this, is it the lyrical content?
Because I don't care for that either. I'm more into being seduced. I don't like it like in my face. I mean, I do appreciate honesty, but I don't like, hey, you know.
This is my favorite part, by the way. We're going to go back. We're going to flip back. This is the crappiest fake orgasm.
Since
That's the Way I Like It by Casey and the Sunshine Band. Ooh, ooh.
It doesn't work for me.
This video holds a very special place in this man's heart.
I'm sorry.
I
must not have very many good special places.
No, there's pretty much just one junk
chip
place.
There's a lot of lint and old keys there.
Yeah, and then just things that gave me a boner as a kid.
It's bad. I mean, Jessica Rabbit would probably do it for me before this.
She looks exactly like Jessica Rabbit. I think that's why I wanted to screw her so hard as a kid.
I don't know. I actually never saw that movie either.
Really?
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? I never saw it.
I saw it once again recently.
I've never seen it.
It's good.
Yeah.
I don't want to exactly say great, but it's interesting.
I mean, I think it's kind of fun with the animation and the
there's
real actors
so much,
and things like that.
There's so much to talk about with this chick dying. Even though Divinyls was pretty much a one-hit wonder, an Aussie band, I don't know if they did more over there.
I don't know.
They certainly didn't do poop here stateside.
I mean, I don't really celebrate any musicians or anything. I wasn't one of those teenagers that had posters all over her walls or anything like that. No.
We could not have been more different.
I mean, I don't idolize people.
Really. I would have purchased Metallica underwear if they made it as a kid.
I mean, if something goes on sale or something, but I mean, it doesn't really ever hold any special meaning.
See,
to me.
They're just
people. They put their pants on one leg at a time, just like we do.
Oh, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Nowadays, when someone even close to my age is like, dude, you have to hear this song. I'm like, how old are we?
Yeah.
I have to hear a song.
Yeah.
I have to pay my bills. I have to lose a couple pounds.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't have to hear a song. Someone's into music now, and to me, it's a sign of gross immaturity. And I think that's probably overcompensating a little too much,
but
there's zero current music in my life.
I mean, I have some guilty pleasures. I like the Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke.
I like the video.
That's
holy God, look at the uncensored. Where did you find the uncensored version
it's
of that,
just right
by the
there.
Way?
If you actually Google
it, certainly isn't on YouTube.
Yeah, you know, actually, they got banned from YouTube, but it's on.
Yeah, because you can't put nudity on YouTube.
Right, but this is, you can just put it in Blurred
Lines.
Is it
Vivo or whatever?
Yes.
The affiliate can play the uncensored stuff. Okay.
So
yeah, you told me a couple days ago, because I put on the pop station, the Sirius XM pop station, to entertain you when we were driving around, I think, after this.
I was being locksmith by proxy.
Yes, when you kind of just walked around with me, or you sat in the car, and I let the windows sit open a crack so that your brain didn't bake like a dog on a hot summer's day.
I gotcha.
And we both heard this, and it's a Pharrell beat song, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because he's only done one beat ever. And it's just a poppy Robin Thicke thing. I really haven't heard pop in a while. It's certainly fine.
Yeah.
And then a couple days later, you just kept blowing up my phone. You're like, you have to check out this video.
Right.
And really, you're like, it's like Game of Thrones with all the boobs. And I hear video, and especially a mainstream artist, I'm assuming it isn't like a Rammstein video where they're actually having sex and stuff like that with porn stars. I'm like, there's not going to be much.
Wow.
But you flip it on for me right before the show.
There's
a lot of areola. There's a lot of bared bosom. There's three different broads. It's almost a choose your own adventure.
Correct.
There's a blonde woman.
Yep.
There's a Negro woman, kind of light skinned, whatever. I don't know. And then there's like a Latina.
I guess.
They're all pretty porkable. I choose the Latina. I like her the most.
Oh, my. But yeah, I don't idolize anyone. So, I mean, if the Divinals chick did it for you, then you can have her.
It's just funny to me. I thought every kid had a phase where music was their life. It was almost the easiest initial way to rebel. Maybe not so much now where the computer lets you do whatever the hell you want from stage one, but...
And make your own music, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And
when I was in Florida,
touch MTV because you just watch it all on YouTube.
My friend Jason and I, we went to visit a friend of his.
A karaoke bar? I've made that music too, Allison.
Actually,
nothing to do with
it
technology.
It was this chick that I used to work with, and she played a CD for us on our way out.
Explain what that is to the kids.
Yeah, it's okay. They can Google it.
Okay.
But she popped in the CD and she said, here, listen to this song me and my brother made. And I mean, it's just, I mean, they just put together some tracks, some beats or whatever. And
were they
just,
fat beats?
They didn't do anything
P-H-A-T.
For me. But I mean, it goes back to that. Even a monkey could do it, I guess.
That's
you know?
So racist.
I didn't mean it racist.
What you meant.
No, but the Divinals, I guess they did have, I mean, this was their biggest hit, but it was also because they worked with the other songwriters there who were responsible for Like a Virgin, Eternal Flame, True Colors.
Did you just look this up on your phone?
I mean, it's out there. It's out there.
Well played. Very subtle.
I mean,
there's so much.
I mean, I think that's why it was so big.
I don't want to rush it. I want to get back to Divinals because I have a lot to talk about with that. But it's weird. Like, you really didn't give a crap for me. Because I'll tell you what happened with me as a kid.
Yeah.
I was at home. It was fourth grade.
Yeah.
And that puts me at age 10. Yeah. Second grade is 8.
Second grade is 8.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember my ages with everything because sixth grade was 12, so fourth grade I'd be 10, 9 to 10.
I guess.
What?
Yeah, 9 to 10, I guess.
I wasn't like ahead of the curve or anything. I wasn't a little Doogie Howser. That's everyone's age. Were you held back?
No, but I graduated early, so.
Oh, okay, gifted child.
Well, I'm just saying. Yeah, when I graduated, I was 17.
No word problem was too complex for you.
Well, not word problems. I actually... It was kind of difficult for me because I got the answer in my head and then to have to write it out was kind of a drag. So it's like, you know,
that's how I feel.
He is
like, I see a hot woman and in my head, it's like, I want to screw you. And then it's really hard having to talk to them and like not get charged with rape later.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I mean, those came easy, but then they were like, show your work. And I was like, eh.
You're
it's 12. The answer is 12. Let's just go with that. Can't you just trust me on this? I know it. And that was before calculators and everyone had
an iPhone.
You just
wrote out the word savant and threw it at them.
You're like,
that's my work.
I mean.
Take it to the bank. This kid going to do big things.
Yeah, I liked math. I didn't enjoy writing, which is funny because a lot of people think that I am a writer or that I enjoy writing.
No, you're
writing.
A storyteller.
I am
like
a
John Denver.
Oh, gosh. I'm not fond of him either. He's dead, too.
He's very dead.
But I didn't have a
thing. Not from breast cancer.
No, but
he was on the Richie Valens Buddy Holly Airlines.
I mean, that's just saying like that's an accident. That's what happens. But what this Divinals chick, she did that to herself. She was asking to be
too many hot dogs.
too many hot dogs, too much chicken, too much, you know, dairy and meat. She didn't need it. She gave it to herself. So
just a bunch of sympathy. I could talk about Anne Frank and you'd be like, you know what? Had she worked a little harder and saved a few bucks, she could have left. She didn't have to stick around and wait for the Nazis.
Well, you know, I'm just saying.
You're like, those Jews with gumption, they got out before things got bad.
Yeah, well, you're talking about war and strife and, you know, Hitler and all this. But this is carrots and apples. Everyone can have one.
Hold on. We're going to go back.
Yes.
We were talking about, I remember. My memory function, because I'm eating so much better.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. I had multiple breakfast burritos today for breakfast and lunch, and then a soda to wash it all down.
I made a beautiful juice smoothie today.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. I didn't post a picture of it today, but...
Did you mix in the Diet Coke you had later?
I actually had a Diet Pepsi at your prompting, welcoming me
Oh, of course. I twisted your arm. That's like the alcoholic blaming the bartender. I just walked into this bar, and you offered me a drink.
I mean, there was cookies there. I said milk. But then, you know.
I remember very clearly, though.
Yeah.
It was fourth grade, and I stayed home one day sick.
Yeah.
I guess I really was sick because I wasn't playing a video game all day.
Right.
And I just thought, this is when kids get into MTV.
I guess.
So I am going to sit here until I like MTV. And I sat there all day, and they played like Aerosmith and AC/DC and Guns N' Roses.
My mom didn't like me to watch MTV.
No, it was not smiled upon in my house either. But yeah. I did it because I thought it was kind of a rite of passage.
I'd sneak it every once in a while, but really not too much. I was a goody-goody.
And it was just so simple to be the quote-unquote badass kid. Because the kid I was copying, John Sager, had like a Motley Crue sweatshirt with a skull on it. Looked very badass.
I guess.
And he was the only kid into music at the time, and I was second to the party.
Wow.
Yeah, and you just had to listen to MTV. And you could talk about bands, and other kids are like, what are bands?
Yeah.
I have cheese puffs for lunch. That's what I can bring to this conversation.
Well, that's like me in the news. I don't have much to offer, you know.
Oh, but just from there, then it became what's on MTV is crap. I'm into metal. And that's really the phase where music was my life. My every T-shirt was Metallica, Slayer, Pantera. My walls were just, they could put any crappy act on a page in Metal Edge magazine and you would cut it out. You didn't even have to have their album.
Yeah.
You would just put it on your wall. A little magazine page and like a little white text in the corner. It'd be like, this band is, this is Meshuggah, you know, this is
Suffocation. But we always had music. Now, that's not to say we didn't have music. We always had music. And my mom was big on all music except for country. I wasn't exposed to any country growing up. It just, I don't know, maybe it's not a New England thing. Maybe it is now.
Not so much, no.
Yeah, we didn't have any country music.
If I could do a Boston accent, I'd do that Garth Brooks. Wicked awesome.
You should hear your brother try to do one. And he was in New England with me.
He's good with the accents and impressions. Not that one? Wow.
Mm-mm. No, they all come out. He'd be like, this is my Kennedy. And it sounds like Yogi Bear.
Era. Picnic baskets.
So anyway, but my mom was big into music, and I can remember one of my best earliest gifts was a record player.
Me too, a Fisher Price.
I can't remember, but if I looked it up, I would know the image. It was blue and it had a little
inside. Spindle in the middle and then a black circle.
Yeah. Well, actually, some of them did come with the 45, like...
Yeah, you would pull it accessory. Up in the center.
Right.
Oh, not the wheel. Are you talking the little wheel?
Yeah, yeah.
That would fill in. See, my Fisher-Price, you would actually pull up a little plastic ring in the middle, and it could handle both types of records right on the table.
Yeah, you could do
that. We've lost everyone now.
I know. Well, they can Google it. I mean, that's what Google's for, and talk about record players.
45
but we had
adapter
all of the
rings.
Records, and... when I was growing up, we had the Stones and we had Kool and the Gang. And my mom was up on all the top 40 and all that kind of stuff. But she was also into all the classical pieces, too. So we listened to Beethoven and Mozart and all those kinds of things, too. One of my favorite songs was the Music Box Dancer.
How did you rebel as a kid then? If it wasn't like,
I didn't.
I'm going to... Or was your rebellion like, I'm not going to drink myself and...
You know, I think my I said this. We had a conversation with some family friends, and I think that they had said, you know, I said, I think I was honest and truthful almost to a fault.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just told the line and did whatever, you know, I was told. primarily. I mean, I really was a good kid. And part of that, and you're an oldest, you're the oldest in your family as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, and the awesomest.
I think that, I mean, we won't get into that, but I mean, I think that there's something to be said when you're the firstborn. You have a lot of responsibility and you want, you have that thing
I was
to
a
please,
guinea pig.
To
I
please
literally,
your parents.
I held a lot of resentment because my mom, who's a huge vag, not like in a, just a bad way, just she's timid.
Yeah.
She would hold off on sending me to various activities when every other kid my age was going.
Yeah.
And so say we do scout camp.
Right.
And it starts in fourth grade again.
Right.
It's this fourth grade is just popping up. And you do it fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. Well, I would always skip it fourth grade. I was never allowed.
Yeah.
She would wait to hear if any of the kids were molested or murdered.
Yeah.
Then I could try it fifth grade.
Yeah.
And if I didn't die, then it was safe for Will the next year. Conveniently, Will's 2 years behind me.
Correct.
So this allowed Will, my little brother,
to start
to do everything,
everything
on time.
Right.
So there was baseball,
like
T-ball, and soccer, and none of the coaches pulled down my pants and did things to me.
Right.
So it was fine for Will to start those with the peer group, but I had to wait behind like a jag-off.
Yeah, and I think for me, it was my sister, it's even worse for me because my sister is 6 years younger, and there was a great deal of favoritism.
You're barely siblings at that point.
I know, it's like I'm the sitter. And actually, I was the parent to both my parents and to my sibling as I was growing up.
So all three of them were like, I've got a beer on credit if you just go to the 7-Eleven.
But my mom did the same thing. I mean, there was a lot of things that she was very lenient on and things that she didn't mind because I was a good egg. I never had a curfew. I never had a bedtime. I never had those other things.
That just sounds like lousy parenting.
It is in a sense, but she had other rules. Like we had to memorize Bible verses. And in the summer, I had to do summer reading and like all
this
culture.
Your mom was into the Bible?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And it's funny.
So you were raised super Christian?
No, I actually, my mom was always kind of soul searching. So she was always looking and kind of seeking out kind of the light and the right path and all that.
Oh, no.
So we were like every religion known to man, really.
Oh, God.
I mean, we were never Buddhist or
I was
going to
say, can you quote me the Talmud?
But she, her mom grew up, she was Catholic, and it was just like holiday Catholic. And so, but then when my mom,
That's what we kind of degenerated into. Like my dad was raised Greek Orthodox, and so was my mom. My dad literally never went to church, and it was simply because he needed 3 hours away from it. So we would always go to church without him, and I'd always be like, why does dad have to go? And mom would be like, he went enough as a kid.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God, I just have to put in a couple years then, a couple more, and that mansion on the hills in my grass.
It's funny because my mom, my grandmother was a very bright woman, but then she fell into alcoholism and kind of went the wrong way. But she could speak eight languages and actually worked as an interpreter for an ambassador.
Yet not say I've had enough to drink in any of them.
Right. As she got older, so it was rare that we had weekends or times with my grandmother, my mother's mother. But if we did, she'd say, you can have the girls or
you can have the mixers,
but you can't, you have to take them to church. So we'd spend all day at Rocky's Pub and then on Sunday,
no.
You know what I mean? After she went and got a few shots or whatever, then we would go to the Catholic Mass. But we weren't raised Catholic, and my mom didn't actually stick with Catholicism because when she became pregnant with me, she had me out of wedlock, and she went to the Catholic Church, and they actually told her their advice.
They're like, in this case, abortion's fine.
Yep, that's what they told her.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, you are almost smishmortion.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they that didn't sit well, and that wasn't a decision.
You
got
to get back
to
that. The church, hold on. Yeah, I can't let you skate. The church was like
Flusher.
When does the church ever say that you can have a mongoloid baby on the way? And they're like, that's just God's gift.
Yeah.
He'll teach you to really appreciate your moderate intelligence.
Yeah. And then she went into other different churches and things like that. And then
was it a priest that said this or a nun like pulled her aside?
Yeah. Yeah. My mom was pretty upset about it. And she grew up very naive.
Was he like the cool priest?
I don't know.
Popped collar. It was a little looser.
I'm not sure. I'm sure it was. And
he's
back
like, I
in
can't
those
touch,
days,
but turn around. Let's see that ass.
I mean, things are a lot more, I think, liberal as far as churches go.
Not so much on the abortion thing, actually.
I know.
But, I don't know of many Catholic churches where it's like, look, between you and me, yeah. abortion's awesome. Kids yeah. suck. Have yeah. three.
No, yeah, she's so that turned her off, and then that was
here's my abortion subclub card.
So, but then we went into she got one of her best friends, and her daughter and myself are the same age. We're just a few months apart.
Okay,
and we wound up moving into the same apartment building. When I was 7.
The bastard's duplex.
And it actually was a brand new building. It was very nice. And anyhow, she was a Jehovah's Witness. Her and my mom used to do a lot of drugs, and I think her best friend was into a lot of acid stuff.
Was the friend a Jehovah's Witness before?
But no,
or after
she became
acid?
One after. After, yeah.
This is weird. A lot of the most important yeah. people in my life are Jehovah's Witnesses.
But you know what's funny is that my mom, she went and she got converted by her best friend
to that.
Yeah, and she went to. But my mom just lived her life as she did. I mean, I think she knew right and wrong and all those kinds of things, but she had. You know, she was very conflicted. 2 kids, single parent, blah, 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 and this kind of thing. And, yeah, so she went into it, but she wound up getting disfellowshipped. My mother did because she was...
Is that their version of excommunication?
Correct. But the thing is, she would send...
I didn't even know they did that.
But, you know, part of it was because of my mom's immoral ways. You know, my mom...
I just knew your mom was kind of an alky.
She alcoholism was primary, but she also did coke and some other things too.
She knew how to party. Let's not get on her.
But
high
she
horse.
Was not a stoner or anything. But alcoholism primarily was her thing.
just some rails and some booze to mellow it out. Yeah. We've all been there.
So she
we all had a summer of 2000
due to poor conduct and those kinds of things. They felt like she was not a good representation, whatever, and they kicked her out. But also before that, my mom was very bright and she kind of challenged them on some of their beliefs. And one of their strong beliefs is the 344,000 or the 144,000, I guess it is.
Oh, those are like the people that actually get to heaven. And if you're not one of them, you're
right.
boned.
But it's not heaven. They call it, and it's been so long, but they call it something else. Paradise, I think.
Paradise.
Yeah. And then you go on to paradise where everything's just perfect and lush and lovely.
Sounds good.
But it's funny when you go to those Jehovah's Witness conventions and things like that, the only ones that are allowed to take communion are the 144,000.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be one of them. But if you look
is
at the number
like the
of
Persian
people,
immortals, like one of the 144 dies and there's immediately a new one.
No, it's just they say you.
So how many are on the earth right now?
A bazillion. And they say, well, some of them are being misled.
Population.
Yeah. And it's not like you're anointed or appointed to be one of the, you just, it's a sense you have within yourself. And so my mom kind of challenged that, and she challenged some other things, and they couldn't find the answers for her. But it's funny, even though she was dissatisfied herself, it was kind of like, by God, she kind of wanted some structure and some kind of Christian type beliefs for her kids. And so she would send me, and my sister was so much younger.
Slow down a second.
Yeah.
Do you get weirded out and pissed off when someone thinks they can prove their intelligence by really like challenging religious belief? Because to me, like, I'm not religious. Right. And if you want to start nitpicking actual beliefs, they're all retarded. Like blanket Islam, dumb. Christianity, dumb. Judaism, dumb. They're all, I mean, if you want to really analyze it, they're going to have so much conflicting stuff. If you want to take a beautiful message out of it, then they're all great.
It's the same with health. I mean, you can say that too, and we can argue that, you know, protein's the way to go, and this is the way to go, and this is how you should live, and this is, you know. But there's certain kind of things, I think, when you have a certain conviction or if you have a personal experience that can't be explained, then it kind of lends to a certain belief.
And I just,
certainly
I
get
very
some of those
ticked
experiences
off.
Myself.
And I think Bill Maher did a movie a couple of years ago, maybe Irreligious or something like that.
I think. I don't know.
And he was just interviewing various high ups in the religious community and like trying to poke holes in the logic of their beliefs. And it's like, oh, bully for you. It's about belief. I mean, that's the one thing you can really take away from it. It is when you let go of logic.
I guess.
And that is, to me, what religion means. It's you want a place where...
But there are some things you just can't be explained, I suppose. And there's certain experiences.
And again,
how
that's
someone
kind
else
of, for
know?
Me, where religion falls into place. I don't like people who try to apply their logic to religion where it's supposed to just be belief and it's supposed to just transcend your mortal logic, I guess. That's how I am with like banging. This is going to sound bad. For me, where I let go of my brain, so to speak, is like banging loose chicks late at night when you're just like, I should not be doing any of this. This costs me money. I'm going to catch something. I need my sleep. Yet here I am screwing someone.
But I don't think you catch anything from believing in God.
No, not so much.
So I don't think God's
going to be here. Maybe a raging case of salvation. That's all.
Yeah, you're not going to get herpes from Jesus. So I don't think it's so bad.
Should be a bumper sticker.
So, I mean, but anyhow, my mom got excommunicated or disfellowshipped, and I would go with the neighbor downstairs who was kind of my mom's mentor. There's a name for that. And anyhow, I would go. But when we were out in public and we'd go to the grocery store or at the beach and we would run into people from the Kingdom Hall, they would speak to me and they would not address my mother. It's like she was invisible.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just, and that's a heavy situation for a little kid, you know, 8, 9, 10
years old. Yeah, just a little.
Yeah.
And it's fine in their mind because, hey, in no way will that damage you.
But you know what's funny is that whatever my mom is passionate about, she has a very contagious personality and she's got a lot of charisma. She has a lot of humor. And she was one of those Jehovah's Witnesses. Listen.
Oh, God, you make me want to start a cult just so I can meet your mom.
My mother,
lucky you did not grow up next to Waco.
When we had to do door-to-door, go door-to-door.
Oh,
my mother was one of those ones.
Wait, listen. Stop. You went door-to-door as a kid?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you had to.
As a Jehovah's Witness?
Yeah, you had to do the watchtower and give out those.
What's the watchtower?
The watchtower and the awake, they're little pamphlets that kind of tell you.
Like those are the two main ones?
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm.
I remember to this day, one time I think Mormons were in the house. They might have been Jehovah's Witnesses too.
Yeah.
And my dad and my mom were kind of hosting them and being polite and had
like
them in.
Like when the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC got together.
Yes.
The Mormons got together with the Jehovah Witnesses.
To completely blanket and annoy every neighborhood in an 8-mile radius. I still remember I was screwing around with Will in the other room and I had this massive Louisville Slugger, a softball bat that we would use for a baseball bat even though we're kids. And I was just swinging it at his head while he was on the bed. And
I remember
this. And we're doing like quote unquote Hollywood stuntman stuff. I was like, now duck to the left, duck to the right.
This is
and of course,
good.
He's just rolling around going, hee
hee hee.
Crack right across his temple. And he's screaming.
Poor Will.
And my dad sprints in, grabs the bat, is yelling at me, starts chasing me around with the bat. Aww. Will runs out, is crying. These
Poor
guys
William.
Literally run out the damn door. It's such a scene. They're like, screw it. We don't need them that bad.
Yeah.
One of my favorite childhood memories.
But this would, my mom was the type that when she would go to the door, she wasn't leaving until she got you to come to the Kingdom Hall or to accept whatever the watchtower.
Your mom sounds really annoying.
I mean, she would put her foot in the door. The thing is that the population of that Kingdom Hall in North Providence during that time, my mom populated that place. I mean, she really did. I mean,
she was
a moneymaker. And even though she was a raging alcoholic.
She was like, she'd say, hey, come to the Kingdom Hall and then poke her tongue against her cheek, doing the blowgy motion.
No, I think she was sincere about it. As sincere as she could be with, suffering from alcoholism, you know. I mean, she really did. If she's passionate about something and she believes in it, then she wants to spread the word. And
booze is great.
Oh, but to put her foot in the door and all that, like you weren't closing the door. She'd go,
I mean, I would. I would maim your mom.
I think you would, but, you know, I mean, at that time she was, you know, thin and attractive. And
that's different.
Yeah.
But she had two kids. Would I have known?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay, because you were, as a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old maybe, walking around rough neighborhoods.
But when I was 7, my mom was 27, so.
Ooh.
Yeah, so she's hot. Yeah.
Wow, hot.
So that probably helped, too. Yeah.
Is she still shapely?
She's got some curves now.
Oh,
but
I don't like, that's like real women have curves, right?
Yeah.
That kind of curves.
But the thing is, my mom still has that charisma. No matter where she lives or where she goes, everyone knows her, you know.
Well, you have that charisma as well.
I mean, I do.
I sound like I do on air, and then I go home, and I'm just like, leave me alone. I want to eat some junk food, pet a cat, and play some Wii.
I guess. I mean, I do enjoy being around people.
The center of attention. Oh,
that
you said
too.
Different things.
I think, but that's, you know, for someone who doesn't drink or smoke or party, I mean, I can be
you
the life
even
of the
curse.
Party. No, I don't.
That's we're doing a clean episode right now because I wanted to challenge myself.
Oh, really?
I didn't realize. You didn't, did you?
No, I didn't.
That's why I said blowgy or whatever instead of sea gobbling road whore.
But see, it forces you to be more creative, and I appreciate that.
I just fill in the dirty words with the less dirty ones. It's the same thought process.
You can say that, but I think there is a certain lack
of creativity. Make a car and you paint the car blue instead of red, it's still the same car.
It is the same car, but, you know, there are statistics that go along with the color of the car. You know, what it says about your personality, how it relates to accidents and those kinds of things.
Well, you blew my mind with that last week. We're driving home from the show, and one of my friends asked me what it's like sitting across from such a profane person, which if you want to know how far gone or whatever I am, I don't view anything I say as profane. It's just how people talk.
Yeah, you say that, and your brother says that too, but that isn't how everyone talks. And the way
it really isn't.
No.
But the people I picture not talking that way are just like four blonde white people around a table. And
yeah, but when you're working and you're doing business,
dinner,
you're not saying, hey, you know, this F and C word,
blah, blah,
blah. Yeah,
but even people I know who talk like me when it comes to business, I'm not going to talk that way.
No, so everyone doesn't talk like that. Even yourself, you have to censor yourself. I myself, the way I conduct myself, I don't have to censor myself at all.
You say self one more time.
Selfie, selfie, selfie. I mean, I just don't have to censor myself. I don't have to watch what I say because I use the same vocabulary that I would no matter the company I keep.
So. I found it very strange. I never realized you didn't curse.
No, I just don't. I mean, ask your brother. He'll tell
you. Did your parents not curse?
My mom did some, but it was rare.
My dad was a literal sailor. Yeah. I mean, those were some of our first words.
My biological father
and
my stepfather. I mean, they both had a very...
Your two dads, you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They both had a colorful vocabulary, but not really so much around me, but... you know, I didn't really have much relationship with them growing up. But my mom, for the most part, she really didn't swear. No. And it was just something that I took upon myself. But everyone.
At what age? I mean.
I just thought
you had
a
weird childhood, I guess, because is it your parents just weren't around enough for you to have something to rebel against? And you kind of just wanted the sweetness and the stability where the rest of us had that and we wanted to crap all over it.
Well, that's why I don't like the people who kind of blame their environment or their surroundings or their personal situation for them becoming a murderer or becoming these kinds of things, because we are born with that innate sense of what's right and what's wrong. And even when you're
some people aren't, like sociopaths.
I mean, truly, if you have a disorder.
There are some people who really can't comprehend, it's not okay for me to kill people. Why? I want to.
I think, but even in their regular life, there comes a point where they do kind of recognize right and wrong. Maybe they murder someone, but they don't steal. You know what I mean?
I guess.
So they do have that sense and how well you respond to that. But even when you're very young, I mean, even 2 and 3 year olds, they can, you know, start reaching their hand towards a vase and they look at their parent because they know it's wrong.
How much is right and wrong, and how much is you just know punishment is coming, though?
At that age, I mean, you don't really know why, but you know that you're not supposed to, you know, like biting or any of those kinds of things. Sometimes it's fun, but as you get older, you know, you just can't go around biting people, you know.
I do it still, and it's not good. I do it with girlfriends. Like sometimes I'll just grab, this is a weird thing of mine, I'll just kind of grab their arm and be like, ah, and usually
it
doesn't hurt, but once in a while,
and you don't
they're
know
like,
why
ow, what the F?
And the way you fart on people, so it's a wonder.
Hey, that is not the girlfriends. That is only friends. And tell everyone I at least do like a pretend jump kick when I fart.
I don't want to talk about it. That'll give me a stomach ache. So it's
because you're so turned on. That happens to me sometimes.
No. Yeah, just not swearing. It's I just think it lacks creativity for the most part.
I say I believe that when... you're using it to fill in for words when you're just saying, you know, this piece of S.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to do this S today. And you're using it instead of more descriptive words.
Right. But it's a hot button kind of thing. But I think even for people, when they have to use that as a punchline, I think that it's just.
Well, it's the famous quote profanity is a feeble mind trying to sound strong or something to that effect.
I think so. And it can maybe hold an intimidation factor or those kinds of things.
It but does. Really, it's so cool when you're a kid.
But it doesn't to me. I just think I...
Don't you remember you're on a playground and like you would be the first one to say it?
No.
And all the other kids are like, oh, John said a cuss. And they'd all run to the teacher. They'd be like, teacher, teacher, John said a cuss. And the teacher would have to be like, get out of my face, kid.
No, it's never happened to me. Not even as an adult. I mean, all my friends do bust my chops about it. And they all try to get me to swear.
I don't care. Don't get me wrong. It's just weird.
It is kind of weird. And I think growing up the way I did, you know, people think that I'm was or the way that I carry myself today, people assume that I was very sheltered, which I was not. And it's funny that I don't, but it's just not something. Now, I did just get turned on to this new website. It's called The Thug Kitchen. And this guy, he's a food blogger. I don't really have all the information about it, but I just linked on to it.
When do we ever on this show?
But, oh, my goodness. He swears all the time. But I think because it's in the food context, it kind of seems out of context. But mm-hmm. he's like, you know, your listeners can go check it out.
Is it getting popular in a comical way? Because he's like,
no,
oh, this
I think,
effing rotisserie chicken?
But he doesn't do, he
I
eats clean.
I hate having
clean.
To do a clean show.
He eats clean, but uses dirty words. So.
That's his shtick?
I think so, yeah. And he's got some beautiful photographs of food, and it's all clean.
Describe
and natural,
the so. Thug cook.
I don't know what he looks like. I didn't see. I haven't actually, like, Wikipedia or tried to look up him as a person. I don't really know who he is because I just got turned onto the site. But the food is just drool worthy.
I'd
and
like to
no
say
meat.
I'm going to check it out when I get home. But
I posted one on your Facebook.
Yeah. Okay, that's why I knew the name.
Yeah. Yep, so you'll have to check it
out. I guess I'm kind of busted for not clicking on links then. Yeah. A lot of times people post and I just hit like so they know I'm like,
yeah.
I like the fact that you posted
well, this.
Well,
this is a photo. It was borrowed from his site and, you know, talking about preventing what he says is wiener cancer. But he doesn't
wiener
say.
Cancer
correct yeah
I don't even think that's a thing I heard
oh really because I know someone that had theirs removed because of it so,
what
yeah mm-hmm.
Get the hell out of here
no knob he was knobless
like the whole thing
yeah
I've heard of it happening yeah. once in Russia and the guy got it remade because they chopped out his middle finger mm-hmm. and took like the skin all the way back to the wrist and kind of just squished his hand together oh. so he had like a Simpsons hand for one of them and then they turned the other thing into skin and made a new wiener out of that.
I think the
who has wiener is it a Facebook friend?
No, this was when I was in nursing school.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's different. I thought you meant like just one of your acquaintances I've met.
No.
Like does Joel have no penis? Is that what you're trying to put out here?
No. But it can happen. And men can get yeast infections as well. So
oh, I've had that.
Oh, the end.
I'm pretty sure I've had at least a UTI or something.
Oh,
that's like the only real other than the STD and pregnancy yeah. protection.
Yeah.
They really need to sell condoms being like, look, she's probably not infected with anything. Yeah. If we're playing the odds. But that is a dirty, dirty petri dish. You're shoving it in.
You know, it's funny. One of the nurses that I work with, I babysat her two children one day.
Yeah.
And while we're there, it was kind of wind down time. And generally, I don't do any TV or anything when I'm working with kids. But this was wind down time. And his mom was going to
so
be
a little Game of Thrones wouldn't kill him.
Anyhow, TV's on, the commercial comes on for something like Vagisil or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the little
I found the applicator for that once on my mom's bed, and I picked it up and played
oh,
at the tip.
Oh, the
And I was
end.
Like, hey, Mom, what's this? Oh. And she screamed and smacked it out of my hand.
Oh, I don't feel
I was
very
told
good.
To wash my hands a lot.
Yeah. Anyhow, he says
good
he's
thing
only
I didn't
about,
think it was an icing dispenser.
He's like 7 or 8 years old, and he says, oh, yeah, I need my mom to buy me some of that. And I was like, wow. Why? And he says, oh, I've got a yeast infection. And I just let it go. Like, I didn't want to open that can of worms anymore or whatever. But then the next day at work, when we were working together on the floor, I said, hey, your son.
She asked you to buy it for him.
No, I said, he says that he needs Vagisil. And she said, she started laughing so hard. She said, because she told him that it was for dry, itchy skin. And he's been having his own dry skin on his hands. His hands were dry and he needed lotion. So he thought he needed Vagisil. So she said, I just told him it was for dry, itchy skin.
No, so. I was like 13 when this happened. Yeah. So there wasn't really much fooling me. Yeah. I was just, it took me a couple minutes to be like, was that? Oh, God, I saw the Monistat 7 box. Oh, God.
That's bad. You know, that's something that I've never had myself. A yeast infection.
I was waiting for you to finish it.
Yeah, I've
this
never.
This could have gone so many ways. A son that found your yeast dispenser.
Your yeast removal.
Oh, it wasn't just liquid yeast that you shot in there.
No, I think, I've been fortunate. So now watch what'll happen. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. With all your boning around.
I hope not.
Nasty. Chauncey Billups will give it to you.
I don't even know who that is.
You will.
Oh, my. Who is it?
Just random basketball player.
Oh, did you know that there is a baseball player named Coco Crisp?
Yeah.
I just learned that.
I believe he's a Red Sox.
Is he?
I believe so.
Oh, my gosh. My family's going to kill me then.
Coco Crisp.
Oh, Boston. I watched the movie 42 and I got a little, baseball education.
Oh, what? And they snuck him in?
No, because after the game, I wanted to know because they talked about Jackie Robinson being like his thing was stealing. Isn't it?
Who broke down the barrier for Coco Crisp, Cap'n Crunch? Zing.
No, he, because he was known for stealing bases. And so I want.
So.
That's
come
what
on.
He, that's
come
true.
On.
That's
really?
What he said in the movie.
The black guy was known for stealing.
That's what. That's
low what, joke, Allison.
So I wanted to see.
You might not swear, but you offend in so many other ways.
I wanted to see who had the record for stealing bases.
Ricky Henderson.
He's up there, but I don't think he's the top. I think
Ricky's the top by a country mile, but I could be wrong.
Is he?
I'm Henderson, pretty sure.
I think he's on there. Somebody has.
That was kind of his thing.
114. Like they did it by season. I looked it up by season.
Well, yeah,
it's not
Ricky
fair.
Retired like 15 years ago, so I don't think he's clocking it this year.
I'm not sure. Like, but anyhow,
there's a very famous scene of him stealing the record-breaking base, and he holds it up like the baby Lion King, and kind of just turns to the whole crowd.
Yeah, we should look and
see.
He
was
anyhow,
a full of himself ass, that Richard.
But there's
Henderson.
A lot of people on that list that I've just never heard of, and they have like. They've stolen a lot of bases, I guess. I mean,
you know
when
who
you
wasn't on that list? Babe Ruth. David Ortiz. I can name a few.
That's true. But, it was kind of funny. Anyhow, I saw Coco Crisp is on there.
Mm-hmm.
For he's stolen a lot of bases. But I was like, Coco Crisp? Did they just throw this in to see if we were paying attention?
Nope.
Or, yeah.
Coco Crisp is a real
living
being.
But then I asked people, I was like, hey, Coco, everybody knows except for me.
The whole way that I think he gets around being mocked, other than having millions and being in shape, it's Coco Crisp with the accent on the crisp, as opposed to when you say the cereal is Coco Crisp.
Oh, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I want to see who that is. Can you look it up?
Oh, okay.
Who is it on there? Who has the most stolen bases? I know Henderson is on there, but there were some really amazing numbers. I'm not a sports fan. I don't follow sports, but I do enjoy live sporting events. But,
Coco Crisp.
Oh.
He's an athletic now? Or maybe he was always an athletic. I thought he was a Red Sox for some reason.
Oh, it's a good thing because I should know that.
There he is in a Boston jersey. I guess he got traded. Or he was traded to them. I'm not sure. Yeah. He looks rather high yellow.
So who is
all-time stolen bases?
Yeah.
I'll go down with Ricky Henderson, but I'll look it up. All-time stolen.
I think Willie Mays is on there. Like, Willie Mays is, he's. Like, the thing is that, Willie Mays did it season after season after season.
Ricky Henderson, 1406. Lou Brock, second place with 938.
Oh, but that's, I wanted to know, like, per season. I mean, because some people's their career could have been just 1 year, you know what I mean? Or they could have been 4 years. So it's not fair to kind of put them in with someone else. So I looked it up per season.
Okay. And?
Henderson is on there, but I don't know if he's the all time, if he's the highest. They did it through all the years.
He was. I just literally read it to you. He has like 500 more than Lou Brock.
Yeah, but did he play baseball for 20 years? To me, that doesn't really count. I guess there's something to be said. There's something to be said for stamina, but if he did 700 in one season,
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Coco Crisp in 2011 tied with Brett Gardner.
Yeah, that's the one.
49.
Yeah. See, now it's not as popular. There's not so many bases stealing being stolen.
This is true. But okay. I get what you're saying for 1 year.
Yeah.
But Ricky had it 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87. Harold Reynolds gets it. 88, 89, 90, 91. Come on. You got to give it. Oh, and 98 again, just for the hell of it. Takes a break.
But what was his highest? Somebody, I think, is 140 something.
Maybe it's one of those creepy Negro League records that they say that they can't really substantiate.
No, it's on there. It's on
all right. This Ricky has 130 in 1982. Yeah. That's effing insane. Yeah, no one's close to that.
Yeah.
That I can see. He had 130, 108, and 100. He had three seasons triple digits.
Yeah.
I don't see anyone else even sniffing that.
No, but I mean, I think Jackie.
But he wasn't. Yeah. The champion of base theft in 2012, and that's what counts. I think I get what you're trying to put out there.
No. I'm just saying someone who's had 1 year and then they got injured and they're out, but they stole, 150 bases.
Okay, but Ricky Henderson's a horrible example. He both had the longevity and the top records.
But who did he play for? I don't even know.
He was an Athletic pretty much the whole time, I believe.
That's cool. So, yeah, learning something.
These are the baseball facts I knew as a kid when I dearly loved that game.
Yeah.
Then I grew up and appreciated how football let me lose my entire Sunday to pizza.
I mean, I do it for the pizza. I mean, I'm not really into football, but I don't follow any sports. I mean, occasionally the highlights I like to see, because that's amazing. These amazing feats or the highlight reel of the week or whatever, and what's happening in sports. But I don't really to sit and watch a whole game unless I'm at the game, Then I'm
football is the one thing I can do. Playoff basketball as well, although I haven't checked out any games yet. But
I've never been
shortly.
To a professional football game.
So. I have seen the Skins once. I hated the experience. I love the Redskins.
The stadium
is garbage.
Yeah, I think they said that most any football, like if you don't have prime seats, you might as well just screw it and watch it at home.
Whereas, that's how I feel.
But there's a lot of other sports and things where you can have a pretty bad seat and still get a good show.
Yeah, baseball, you go for $5. You literally don't watch the game. You just mill about, eat hot dogs.
Or get trashed. The last time I was at
get trashed in the parking lot.
Well, I can't say the last time because I went to St. Louis and I saw a couple games there. And I had a good experience. Everyone was pretty mellow and family oriented. But when I went to Baltimore to see the Orioles play, I mean, in front of
it's
me.
It's Baltimore. They're savages. Come on.
But there was a law firm.
Baltimore's Mad Max.
This was law firm in front of us, but they had a tab that was just put on an account for their business.
So they're demolishing their little Dixie cups of beer.
Yeah, and then behind me was a Jeter fan who was just yelling Jeter and getting belligerent, and there was a lot of expletives, and I thought,
New Yorker? Why? I never.
I was thinking, why would I want to bring my kids here? Like,
come on, Jeter! You half moolin' yawn.
Jeter, I think, he's a good player.
Jeter's, he's crippled right now, I think.
Oh, my. I guess that's not really the talk right now. Everyone's talking about Kobe. I guess Kobe's out. That's basketball, I know, but.
Yes, Kobe blew a Achilles tendon, I think, and the Lakers were, barely limping into the playoffs as it was. And,
but he's the hot tamale. Yeah, I looked at his some of his stats, too. I forget why I was into
basketball.
This is
weird
basketball.
Doing sports with a girl. You're like, oh, that Kobe Bryant, he's a good player, isn't he?
The thing is that there are probably a lot of women who actually had dads that kind of exposed them to that. But growing up with my mom, single mom,
some jockey girls.
Some do have a sport, like a lot of my cousins, they're females, but they follow baseball. They do follow,
a lot of girls like baseball because it's just very it's more about I get to put on a sundress and go to the park.
I guess.
And make my boyfriend pay a lot of money for me.
Wow, you've dated Grover, apparently. I don't know. That's why you weren't taking Grover out. You're just scrumping her behind the video games.
Behind the dumpster. Wherever we can get some shade.
Oh, my. That's rough.
Let's talk about poor dead Chrissy Amphlett before we forget.
I didn't forget. She
no,
didn't eat enough
forgot.
Carrots and apples.
Poor dead Chrissy Amphlett.
She should have went with the Garrison therapy. It's curing people. Michael Landon missed that boat, too. Now, look, he's gone.
No one puts baby in a corner, but they put him in the ground, don't they?
Aww.
Poor Mr. Swayze.
Aww.
No, there's a lot to that video. It meant a lot to a young John Papa Giorgio. I'll tell you why.
It was annoying to me, but
really?
I'm much older,
Yeah, I think when you're older, you can be like, that's just dumb jangly pop. But
I don't
the first
know,
time
but I
you
mean,
hear,
I did like Vanilla Ice and I liked
to me,
Ice Ice Baby.
Yeah, but that was a different sound. You'd probably never heard rap before. Well, I don't know. The communities where you grew up, you're probably hanging out with Fab Five Freddy as his mom, as your mom tooted coke off his ass.
Oh my, the good times. I grow up.
To me, it was a tune. I heard it once.
Yeah.
And I could sing almost the entire thing. Yeah. It stuck with me. And it was right when I had started wanking.
Oh,
and
my.
So.
When you were 10?
Yeah, I was ahead of the curve. So
that's
that song. And that's how I felt. That I really felt bad about it because almost no one in your class was doing it.
Like, how would you know? What do you take a poll when you're 10?
Oh, that was it. It was just a deep down secret. It was almost like being molested. You guarded it with your life.
I guess.
And the only things out there that let me know it wasn't the worst thing on earth was this song.
Yeah.
And veiled references to Bud Bundy masturbating.
Oh gosh.
By Al and Peg and sometimes Kelly.
I didn't watch that program. I thought it was crude and
my
dumb.
Dad despised it because it belittled the role of the father in the family.
Yeah.
But I would dig it whenever I could.
No, I never followed it.
And so I heard that and I was like, wow, it isn't just a loser like Bud Bundy that peels his chili.
Yeah.
This hot broad does it. And she was so hot in the video.
I don't think so.
You're so stupid. You're so dumb right now.
Not really.
Okay, looking with my connoisseurs.
Yeah, why don't you look at you would be doing your due to a 53-year-old right now.
She's 53 now.
Yeah, so that's
that
gross.
Means she was, hold on, 53, 33,
no,
31
No, you just think
then.
About diddling
she
to
was a
53-year-old.
Year younger. There's 53-year-olds. I diddled two 53-year-olds. I think
I don't feel good.
Farrah Fawcett, when she did Playboy,
yeah,
was late 40s, mid 40s the first time, and
I'm
she might
sure.
have done a second round later.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, she was another chick that I kind of dug who died. And you're like, wow, this is someone who was a sexual, vibrant object of lust.
Yeah.
And they're now in the ground.
But Farrah Fawcett, I get. But this
Farrah Fawcett, to me, belonged to another generation. But
I mean, she just
Divinyl
kinda,
singer?
Yeah.
That was, no one knew her name either. Like,
no.
I saw Chrissy Amphlett. I'm like, who? And they're like, I touched myself singer. I was like, oh, no. Not those big, milky white jugs. Those are gone. Those are no longer
but
with
apparently,
us.
But apparently, her and I think the guitarist, they wrote all of their own music. Like all their
I think
stuff,
it was one of those deals where it's
up.
They're the singer,
yeah,
or she's the singer, he's the musician, and everyone else can just the bass player. Don't ask for too much, buddy.
But I think when the other two, the songwriting team came involved and they wrote that song with them, so they actually had four, and they said that they all did equal parts, which is kind of unusual in writing music. You know, if you one person writes it, or
I
you
know
have
when,
two.
I write, when I write. It's all about me. I might let the singer do some of the words, but you know me and my instrumentation.
That's right. Anyhow, but
it
they
might
said it
say
was
Jagger
an unusual
Richards, but
collaboration, you know, to kind of get this hit out of it.
It's a perfect pop song.
But the writer, the one, he actually met her at a nightclub or something and had a notebook with song lyrics in it. And that's the one that she gravitated towards. And he said, you know, it was kind
of. No kidding. Yeah. Because she dressed like this little bondage chick. She was in like garters and crap all the time.
All the time?
Yeah. And like cinched waist stuff. Because I'm not saying she's the prettiest.
Yeah.
But she would cinch her waist and have these huge boobs spilling out of like that PVC black top stuff. And no guy is going to turn that down. You might not want to marry it because you know it'll be a disaster after the first kid.
Yeah.
But holy God, you'll never turn it down for a one-nighter. She
gross.
Would. And she even knew how to hide what wasn't like, I'm not even going to call it a mediocre face. It just wasn't a face in line with the awesomeness of her jugs. If you look at that video, she has her bangs down past her nose. It's like a sheepdog. You just literally see these gorgeous lips mouthing, I touch myself. You're like, oh, Jesus H. Do you, girl? Do you? Have you noticed that, by the
way?
But
they tried to say that, you know, the songwriters themselves try to say that, masturbation's at the top. That's what you're supposed to get out of this song.
Yes.
But it's not all about that.
No, it's about loving someone. She's specifically into one person.
Yeah.
It's masturbation monogamy.
Well, no, it's the, you know, that I love myself and I love you, you know, when I'm down and you're on top of me or whatever, however the
That's
song
goes. Not one of the lines.
It's close.
You sound like a fool.
Look it up.
Isn't it weird, though? Someone can hide half of their face. And I don't even think it's really important which half.
Yeah.
And they can look so gorgeous with that half hidden, especially the lower half exposed and a good body.
Yeah.
Like, that chick's a 10. And then she shows the rest of the face and it'll just be like bug eyes and junk. You're like, oh my God, what
you're
was
like,
I thinking?
Oh God.
But the same person could put on like a bandana like they're going to rob a bank. And you just see the eyes and the eyebrows. You're like, ooh, how mysterious.
Yeah.
I think both of these scenarios are cropping the nose out. And I've heard the nose really shapes a face more than anything.
I think there's a lot to be said for that. I mean, they're just...
But it's weird to me. Like, nothing really in a lower half, other than jacked up teeth or an incredibly weak chin or something like that, or a hair lip maybe.
Well, sometimes with the bottom half, a lot of times even thin people will have like a double chin. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
So they'll be very thin, but in all their photos, you think, oh, she's overweight or he's overweight. But they're actually trim. It's just the way that their neck meat is built.
Some old codger was at the door. Sorry, buddy. We booked it for several hours. Oh, God. He's just literally walking around and looking at things. He's a peeper. he's a creepy peeper.
A radio peeper.
Oh.
What are they talking about next door?
Probably how good the show that's so loud it's carrying into their own studio is. They're like, why don't we just press the mics against the wall and have their show on ours? Because certainly tops anything we're doing.
But I have this friend, and he's a leg man. And he has a thing.
Is it Will?
No.
Will's a foot man, apparently, you just told me.
He does like feet and legs. He does like legs. That's his thing.
I like thin, non-trunky legs. Like, to me, a leg is just a sign if you're going to get fat or not.
Well, you say that, but then there's all those women like my ex-sister-in-law, and there's loads of them. Because I have another friend, and he is just leg man. That's it. That's top tier for him.
So weird.
But the thing is, he says, you know, you can say a lot about a woman. It's kind of like what they say Ray Charles did with, you know, touching the wrists of women, mm-hmm. you know, to find out, you know, because he couldn't see. Like,
if I was Ray Charles, I would never even want to find out. I'd be like, here, put on this sheet and lie down.
But that way he felt like he knew if they were attractive or not, because he'd feel their wrists. And it was a polite way, you know, you could hold their hand or touch their hand. And
you
could
tell someone's porky through their wrist.
But you think that. But then I took all of these photos that I found of women, and I just cut off their legs, and all of their legs were like, tens all across. And then I showed him the top half of the photos, and they were all trolls.
Hey, you're talking to a man who doesn't really care about legs.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, it's same with the kind of the face too. Like, someone could be have a gentleman, a guy can have ripped abs, mm-hmm. and they show their abs, you know, from their waistline all the way up to maybe their lips. You think, wow, like, yeah, he's ripped. He must
I send
be
that
so
picture
hot.
Out a lot.
But then he looks like, you know, your grandpa, and he's got you know, teeth going every which way, and. Yeah, it's bad. So, I mean.
I want to say goodbye to the lady. I think she's responsible for my love of gingers, I can't give her credit for the big boobs, but maybe the gingers thing.
I think your mom had a lot to do with the big boobs. So, I mean, she nursed you
guys. I don't like to talk about, I was not nursed once.
Take it back.
Will was nursed till he was 17, I think.
Yeah.
Pretty much. He got his driver's license and it was, you can go and drive to get your formula now.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean. I don't know. I always found that song annoying. And you know what was big when I was in elementary school was Love is a Battlefield, and I never liked that one either.
Wow. So someone just hates good music. I think that is what we've established tonight. And you hate women in power who can sing.
I don't know that she had much power. She just had one hit.
She did have sex with Don Geronimo, and that or not Chrissy Amphlett.
Oh.
Pat Benatar.
Oh, I was going to say.
And that's all I got to say about that.
All right.
Allison Frank, thank you for joining me.
You're so welcome.
Me is John Papagiorgio. You've been listening to Papa's Basement. Show's website in papasbasement.com. Go there. It's got everything. It's got every episode we've ever done. It's got my writing. It's got links to get in touch with us. You can find Allison. You can find my Twitter account at Papa's Basement, the Facebook account, facebook.com/papasbasement, and the iTunes subscription link. That is the most important thing there. Subscribe to us. Rate us kindly. Spread the word.
Spread the word.
Yes.
The word you heard.
Till the next episode. We're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way.
It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way. On my way.